Today on Brave, a lesson about purpose with Jeff Schwarzentraub.
So if you're a person who's trusted Jesus Christ and you're saved, but you ask this question, I wonder what my purpose is. What's my purpose? What's God want me to do? If you've ever asked that question, Peter's gonna answer that question for you. Because God has a design in the gospel for you to discover what his blueprint is, not only for your life, but for the lives of all of us collectively.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. You probably know some people who view the Bible as a last resort. They hope when the end draws near, after living however they want, they can turn to God just in time for the next life. But today on Brave, Pastor Jeff clarifies that the Word of God isn't just a cheat sheet for heaven, it's a blueprint for how to live life now. We're continuing our series in the book of 1 Peter called Christians in Crisis. And if you'd like to hear one of these messages again, you can always find Pastor Jeff's daily lessons at bravemedia.online. Today we're opening our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4, as Pastor Jeff shares a message titled, Gospel Blueprint.
And in these few verses, what Peter is spelling out for us is God's blueprint, his design for the gospel. What do we need to know about God's blueprint? Because if we see his blueprint, if we get the picture for what he's trying to build, then we'll know how we fit in. And the gospel blueprint tells us this, that the gospel connects believers together for God's purpose. That the gospel connects believers together for God's purpose. Notice what he says. He says, and coming to him as like or as to a living stone. He's the living stone. And while he was rejected by men, guess what he was? He was precious in the sight of God. Why? Because he's God's beloved, his one and only son, fully God and fully man for all eternity. That's who he is. Now notice what it says next, because this is startling. It says, you also, as living stones. You get that? We get that Jesus is a living stone. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He put on flesh, but you also are living stones, which means you are what God is using to build what he's building on planet Earth. You are the living stones. And notice what he says about this. He says, and you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now that sounds really churchy, doesn't it? I mean, when you read that at face value, it's like, oh great, I get to wear a robe and be a priest and do like good works, and that doesn't sound very exciting. No, this is what the Bible would call the priesthood of all believers. It means this. It means that every single person who's been saved is being used of God to complete his mission on planet Earth. And Peter's using the metaphor of a spiritual building with these living stones. God has brought you into his family, and part of his blueprint and design is to use you and use us collectively for his purpose to get the message out. You say, what? I'm a dentist. Hey, let me tell you. That's not your highest and best. That's what you do for a living. That's your missionary clothes that you wear to earn an income to do your highest and best. Your highest and best always takes place in the church. You will always find satisfaction in Christ and in his church, and you will discover what your highest and best is. This does not mean, because some of you are hearing me wrong, some of you think that means, oh, I got to be a pastor, I got to sing on the worship team. It does not. It means that some of you have gifts of encouragement to the body of Christ that God wants you to use. It means some of you have financial resources that God wants you to use. It means some of you have gifts of leadership in the church that God wants you to use. Everybody's gifted for the church. Your gifts were not given so that you could live off to the side and be successful. Your gifts were given by Christ to serve his spiritual dwelling. Jesus Christ called you into fellowship with himself so that you could be used by him for his purposes. Amen? Let me tell you a second thing that the gospel blueprint clarifies. The gospel clarifies the centrality of Christ and the destiny of all people. The gospel clarifies the centrality of Christ and the destiny of all people. Now, Peter's going to quote from three places in the Old Testament. I'll give you the verses as we go. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Isaiah 28, 16. He says this. These sacrifices that are acceptable to Jesus Christ, for this is contained in Scripture. Here's Isaiah 28. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. He who believes in him will not be put to shame. Why? Because Jesus Christ is central to anybody knowing God. That's the whole point. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's chief. He's central. He's the visible one, right? That's what Isaiah was prophesying and Peter says has been fulfilled in Jesus. Then he's going to quote Psalm 118, verse 22. He says, this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, what does he say? The stone which the builders rejected, this has become the very cornerstone, right? We've already talked about this, that Jesus Christ, the very one who came to save his own people, was the very one that was rejected by his own people, which has now become the chief place, the cornerstone. And then he quotes Isaiah 8 and verse 14, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. So this rock that Jesus is, not only has the power to save and be central in a person's life, but it can also cause stumbling in those who disbelieve who he is. Everybody's destiny will be set based upon what they believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is this important? I'll tell you why. Because death is just so real. Death is real and it's painful and it doesn't matter who it is that's going through it. It's a perversion of everything that God intended, right? And that's why we need to be careful. We need to read the entire scriptures and we need to get a picture of who this Jesus Christ is. And we really need to come to grips with that he's central in all of it. And if you take the time and study God's word, you'll see that the whole Old Testament points to Jesus and the whole New Testament points back to the fulfillment of all that he did and that he's coming again. And if you read it all, then you get a better picture. For the most of us, we just see little piecemeal things in the gospel, and that's why we never pick up on the fullness of it. I was thinking about this week when I was preparing this message. When I was in fourth grade one time, my teacher passed out a test, and here's what she said. Here's your instructions. Write your name on the top, read through all the questions first before answering, and then turn it back in. That's what we were taught. So I put my name on the top of the paper, I read question number one, and I answered it. And I read question number two, and I answered it. I read question number three, and I answered it, at which time two or three people got up and started turning their tests in. And I'm like, wow, they're pretty fast. And I read question four and answered it. Pretty soon, more and more people were turning them in. By the time I got to question 20, most of the people had turned their tests in, and I read question 20, which said, please don't answer any of the questions, just turn your test in. And my teacher had said, read all the questions before answering. Now, being the attorney that I am, I said, I read the questions before I answered, so I was arguing. But the point is, there'll be no arguing with Jesus. He's made it crystal clear that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He gave a sign in all of his wisdom, dying on the cross for your sins and rising from the dead. And just because you're at Brave Church today, either in Broomfield or Inglewood, does not mean you're a believer. It means right where you're at, you can admit the fact that you're dead in your sins and you can believe that Jesus died and rose for you and you can confess him to be your Lord and Savior right here now as you sit and your eternal destiny will change. Amen? That's who we are in Christ. It clarifies the centrality of that for all believers. And then finally this, the gospel completely transforms our identity and mission. The gospel of Jesus Christ completely transforms our identity and mission. Now notice what it says next, because this is startling. A very familiar verse, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now what does that mean? You're a chosen race. What do most people think about when they think of race? They think skin color. We're not talking about an earthly race here. We're not talking about the color of your skin. We're not talking about the shape of your face. We're not talking about what part of the planet that geographically you grew up on. We're talking about a heavenly race of people. We're talking about divine attributes that were given to us at the moment of salvation. Like, my race is heavenly. My race is chosen before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1 and verse 4. That's my race. That's who I am. Now, if you're filling out a job application this week, you may want to put down your skin color if they ask you your race, but you could write down Kingdom of God, and you would be correct. That's your chosen race. What race are you? Chosen. That's the race I am. And I'm part of a family with everybody that has been chosen in Christ in that way, right? You're part of a chosen race. You've been welcomed into this race. And it's not an earthly race. It's a divine one. It's a heavenly one. Who chose you? God Almighty did, if you're a Christian. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies and conform them into the image of his heavenly body. I mean, our nationality, first and foremost, is not American or German or anything like that. Our first and foremost nationality is heavenly. We're part of a heavenly kingdom. That's why we pray for his kingdom to come, because that's our home. That's our nationality, right? We're a chosen race. We're a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. Now, we talked about holy priests that were set apart for spiritual service. This royal priesthood means this. Royal means to be sent out because you're part of the family. Picture this. In some of those movies where you've seen someone knighted, where they kneel down and then they dub them with the sword on each shoulder and then they send them out for royal service. Why? Because they're representatives of the king. You are either divine princes or divine princesses for the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, who've been sent out into the world as missionaries for him to proclaim the good news of Christ. That's part of the team that you're on. You have royal blood running through your veins. Make no mistake about it. Sometimes the enemy robs us of our identity and we think of ourselves as impoverished and poor and we're nothing. No, you have royal blood running through your veins. You're a daughter of the king. You're a son of the king. It's who you are. You're a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Notice this, holy nation. Church, we don't talk about holiness nearly enough. And the reason most churches don't talk about holiness is because it offends people and they never come back to church anymore. Right? Holiness means that I align my life with the Lord's character, not my own. It means if I have things in my life that are fleshy and God points those things out, I change my life to align with him. It means when the word of God is open and preached in its fullness, you'll hear about a gossip, but instead of saying, oh, I wish my neighbor would have been there, you'll say, oh, God, that was me. This week, here's what I said. God, forgive me. When you hear about somebody that's not generous, you'll be like, oh, I know that guy in church makes a lot of money. How come he doesn't give? You'll think, God, I'm not being very generous. How do I reorient my life with you? You'll hear about people that use filthy language and you'll be like, man, that guy that cusses all the time on the golf course. Instead of hearing it that way, you'll start hearing it personally. Like, how do my lips reflect your goodness? Do you see what I'm saying? Holiness requires a part of God's family to respond to him so that they reorient their life to who he says they are rather than who they want to be. See, people that live for this world will say this, well, I just enjoy that. I enjoy eating this way. I enjoy drinking this way. I'm just having fun. I enjoy spending my time. I enjoy. And God would say, who cares what you enjoy? I died for your sins and I'm holy. I care what I enjoy and you're not living the way I want to. And then everybody leaves the church. I'm going to go somewhere that's nicer. Holy nation. Holy nation. Now, I don't know when this started. It was a number of years back because I've been a sports fan pretty much my whole life. But, you know, have you ever heard people talk about like groups of fans according to a nation, like Broncos nation? Rockies nation. Like, when did this all start? It's not a nation. It's a fan base, right? We're not fans of Jesus. We're living stones being built by him to be used for him. We're God's nation. We're a holy nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is an abomination to all people, right? We're a holy nation. That's who you are. And then what are we? We're a people for God's own possession. That means this. You have unique value. And more importantly than this, it means this. He wanted you. It means this, he still wants you. It means this, your prized possession to him. Think about your most prized possession on the planet, multiply that by infinity, and that's how God thinks about you. It's mine, you're mine, you belong to me, you have significance. In the same way he said about Jesus several times on the planet, this is my beloved son whom I love, in him I am well pleased. Hey, listen, your identity in Christ, when you trusted him, is new. And because Christ is on the inside, you are his beloved sons and daughters in whom he's well pleased. Before we move on, I got to say this. Because for some of you, like, I get it, but not this week, man. You should have been with me last night. I mean, I was partying so hard. I mean, I don't even know if God still loves me anymore because, I mean, I know I'm supposed to be, but I didn't live it out last night. Let me tell you something. On the authority of God's word, when you trust Christ, you have a new identity. The old is gone, the new has come. But Pastor Jeff, I got drunk last night. No, you sinned last night, but it didn't change your identity. You're still holy and blameless and loved and cherished and honored by Almighty God. See, we don't get resolute in our identity. We start looking at our identity based upon our sinful patterns. That's what we did when we were unsaved. If you look at your sinful patterns as a saved person and define yourself by them, you'll never grow. It's your identity. I'm a new creation. I'm beloved, I'm adopted, I'm chosen. I can't sin my way out of the kingdom. I know who I am. That's who I am. You don't have to believe that about me. I know that about me. And when you start living that way, it means, yeah, I still sin. But when I sin, I say, God, that went against my identity. That wasn't what I was supposed to do. I'm living for you. Thanks for forgiving me on the cross of Jesus Christ. I turn from that again. Thanks for forgiving me all over again. I'm rooted in my identity. I don't feel like you guys are listening. This is so important because I find Christians all the time that say, yeah, I get you, until it comes to you personally. And personally, when you sin, the enemy speaks volumes in your life. Yeah, you call yourself a Christian, look how you're acting. You call yourself a Christian, you don't even know the Bible. You call yourself a Christian, you don't even act like one. You call yourself a Christian, you still swear. You still have an eating disorder. You still have a drug problem. Look at you. You're not, it didn't take. You're not. Yes, it did take. On the authority of Jesus Christ, it is finished. When you trust him, you're new. Own it. Believe it. Have it. Will you still sin? Yes, but I'm not living there. That's forgiven at the cross so I can move on. What am I? I'm a chosen race. I'm part of a chosen race. I'm part of a royal priesthood. I'm part of a holy nation. I'm part of God's own possession and a people that belong to him. That's why first and foremost in our life, that's how we have to live. Like there's nothing wrong with being patriotic. I'm fairly patriotic and I enjoy people that are, but I can't stand when people are more patriotic than they are Christian. Drives me crazy. Seriously, your patriotism is gonna trump the kingdom of God? I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on, that's a waste of your time. I love sports, I really love sports. I mean, I can appreciate the fact that you root for other teams. I can appreciate the fact that you're zealous for your teams that you root for. But when I meet somebody that loves sports more than they love the kingdom of God, it's worthless to me. Like, I like going to Broncos games. I hope they win all their games this year. But if they lose, let me tell you what it's like for me at my house on a Sunday night. I sleep fine. I do okay. I'm over it. I'm not calling in talk radio for 5 days saying all that needs to change because you ruined my life. It's football. It's not that big of a deal. Kind of a big deal, but not that big of a deal. Right? You see what I'm saying? I'm all for people saving more money and growing and seeing God flourish you and your resources. And I'm all for God favoring you, and that's good, and I like that. But for people that are all about what they can get and how much favor they have and where they are on the socioeconomic scale, ahead of the kingdom of God, waste. It's a waste. Who cares? Compared to the uncomparable riches in Christ, you have nothing. And you have nothing apart from what Jesus gave you anyway. And boy, I care about your friends. I think it's good to have good relationships. It's wonderful to have good relationships. I have good relationships. But I can't stand being around people whose friendships trump what they do in the church. Well, I have this group of people over here. We're so close to them. Yeah, church, we don't have time for them. Seriously? You don't have time for the group of people Jesus Christ died for, but you can pull your own little friend? I can't stand that. And oh, I love people that are gifted and talented and more gifted and talented than me because they're all over the place and I love that. But I can't stand when I'm around people that talk about how gifted and talented they are all the time and how their gifts are benefiting them. Use your gifts to benefit Christ. Do you see the difference? It means you go all in for Jesus because your identity's changed. You're not the same. Now, what's the purpose of being part of this chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, and God's own people? So that you, that's all of us, may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That means this, listen. Every single one of you who is a Christian used to be in darkness. Well, it wasn't that dark. It was dark. Yeah, but I came to Christ at 4. It was dark. Every Christian comes out of darkness into the light. And how much darkness is there in the light? There's none, because the light casts out all darkness. It means all of you have a story. All of you have a testimony from when you came out of the darkness, right? Some of you lived in the darkness longer, so that story is a little bit longer than some of the rest of us. It doesn't matter. All of us came out of darkness into the light. And so what we're doing is proclaiming the excellencies of him. And so even if you say, well, I don't know the Bible well enough to proclaim his excellencies on his sovereignty and talk for an hour on his sovereignty or on thankfulness, I can't do that, then do this. Tell your story about how God rescued you from darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved son. That's all you got to do. Just tell your story. You have a new identity. You're not the same. You've been bought with a price, so honor God with your body. For once you were not a people. Once you were outside the kingdom. But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Every single one of you is saved by God's mercy. God took compassion on you. You say, well, God saved me when I was 4. That's cool. God took compassion on you when you were 4 and made you aware of the gospel. And he took you out of darkness and placed you into his marvelous light. And praise God for that. Right? You all have a story to tell. Can you tell your story? Because for many of us, even after our story, we still try to live in our old identity, which is why we have no story to tell. When I was in high school, one of the things we did when I was a freshman and sophomore is we wore jerseys when we came to school on Friday. Because as a freshman and sophomore, if you wore your football jersey on Friday, it indicated that you were special. It indicated that you were part of the team, because that way everybody would know that you're part of the team, and then you could walk around and act really cool. But when you got to the varsity level, nobody did that anymore, because if you were good enough, they'd see you play, right? And so you take off the old and you start wearing who you are. Have you ever noticed there's people that are my age that still haven't taken off their high school jersey? You ever see those people before? I mean, they're the same as they were. They're trying to live that life. And you laugh at them, but many of us do the same thing with our Christianity. We say, yeah, that's what I used to be, and I'm kind of not that way anymore. Take off what you used to be, put on who you are in Christ, and start walking that way to the full, abiding in him, giving your best to the church so you can multiply quality disciples for the kingdom of God. You do that, here's a promise. You'll always be filled with joy. You will always be filled with hope. Doesn't mean you won't have bad circumstances. Doesn't mean you won't have hard times. As a matter of fact, I'll guarantee that you will. But what you will have is you will have hope in Christ, and you'll have fulfillment in the depth of your soul. It's your identity. It's who you are. It's not who you used to be. And you all have a story. And God wants you to tell your story. And most of us, when it comes to telling our story, we start thinking about, well, mine's not as good as their story. Every time I hear a story of someone who recognized that they were a sinner and trusted Jesus Christ, I don't care if they're 5 or 95, it warms my heart. Because I realize behind the scenes, it was God doing the work who chose them before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, to make them a living stone, to be part of his purpose and his blueprint in this world, to clarify that Jesus is the Lord of their life and to use them on mission to win many more to Jesus. Amen? That's the blueprint. That's what you've all been called to. That's who you are. That's who we are in Christ. And Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we don't want to be remiss that if anybody's here today and say, I don't know if I've ever trusted Christ, that you could pray again right now. Jesus, I believe you're the Lord. I confess you as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my life now and for always. And Lord, for those of us who know you, Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. Build us and root us in our identity that we could live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
A great prayer for a life full of purpose. You're listening to Bray for the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub and the final segment of a message titled Gospel Blueprint. If you've missed any of this empowering lesson or you'd like to find earlier programs from Pastor Jeff, visit us at bravemedia.online. Now, as Pastor Jeff made clear today, finding your purpose in life starts with understanding your identity. And the only way to know your identity is by knowing God. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't give us a story about morals and meaning. The gospel offers us an opportunity to come closer to the one who created us, to have a real relationship with our Heavenly Father, and to live a life of purpose. If you've missed any of these previous messages in our new series, Christians in Crisis, hear them whenever you'd like, wherever you are, right from your phone, by downloading the Brave Church app. When you do, you'll find all of Pastor Jeff's complete, unedited sermons, along with other helpful tools and opportunities for fellowship. Just log into the App Store and search for Brave Church Denver. And if you're looking for bold preaching, passionate worship, and authentic community, we encourage you to visit us in person for weekend services at Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. If you're in the area, we'd be thrilled to see you this weekend at one of our two campuses in Englewood or Westminster. If you're listening elsewhere, join us through our live stream. You'll find all the details to attend or stream weekend services at bravemedia.online. Just go to the bottom of our homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have questions or maybe an encouraging comment to share with Pastor Jeff, email us hello@bravechurch.co. We would love to hear from you. That's all of our time for now. I'm Bill Carl, and we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new message from Pastor Jeff, sure to get you thinking. It's titled Benefits of Submission. It's coming up next time on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.